Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
We're doing that, so we may even pick up a few adults that have never done anything like that. I've never done anything like that, so that might be fun. But I think it's important never to lose our focus or lose our purpose in which we recognize the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I really want to solely deal with one thing tonight because in our culture and in our world, the one thing that we misplace or we misguide or we misunderstand a lot of times is the truth of Jesus Christ, who he was and who he is. And so I'm gonna do an attempt to jump into this tonight. And you know, I love this because it says, "And the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us." Oh my. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word truth, it's such a powerful word. And you know, even to the Greek and to look at the Greek word in truth, there's a few things. That word is aletheia is how you pronounce it. That's in the Greek. The word is aletheia, and it's used to denote the truth in a variety of contexts, including the truth of God, the truth of the gospel, the truth as a moral and ethical standard. You guys understand that, you know, that's what we're fighting against a lot of times is people to identify the truth, the truth of the gospel. You know, some people will move into this realm where, well, I believe God this way, or I believe God's in the trees, or God's in the clouds, that when somebody dies, they become an angel. People don't get wings when they die. So, and I'm not trying to make that sound morbid at all, but it's important that we understand there's a truth in the Word of God that we can rely upon. And, you know, we understand that His name is Jesus. You know, as a Christian church, there's no other name in which someone can be saved. There's no other religion that has offered what Jesus has offered any of us here on earth. So, you know, even in that Greek, I love this because what it basically means is that it's truth that cannot be contested. Try to prove it wrong. Many people have tried to prove it wrong. It's an uncontested truth that Jesus... That Jesus died for us and rose again. Now, if we catch this and we catch this revelation, man, it moves us into an area or realm of like, no, man, he did this for me. You know, I think it was Tiff Shuttlesworth. I heard him saying, you know, he said, a lot of times people have this persona that, you know, I've got to have my sin and my life cleaned up before I ever go to church. No, you come to church as a sinner. And God, what does God do? He cleans you up. Doesn't mean that you keep walking and staying in sin, but you develop and you begin to learn the truth of the Word of God. Many of you would say to me, "Hey, I'm not the same person I was maybe even a year ago." Would anybody say that in this house? That, yeah, I'm not the same a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. I'm not the same person. Because what's happened in my life was I've gained revelation. I've gained knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. So we're gonna jump into this a little bit. You know, I love this. Even that root word in the Hebrew is emet. And it comes from, I don't do this very often. Pastor Miranda kind of, out of her class, I started getting into the Greek and Hebrew a little bit. And it's actually been fun. I start going down all these rabbit trails and I'm like, oh, I got to get back over here because I got to preach around this tonight. So, but even that root word in Hebrew, that word emet, it comes from the word aman, which it means to conform or to establish. Can I tell you that truth was established when Jesus was born? Truth was established. The living God was established. He dwelt among us, the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? God in flesh, he dwelt among us. You think, why is that important? It's important to know that God dwelt among us. Many other reasons why it's important, but we have to see that the established truth oftentimes is what people will run from. It's what people will ignore. It's what people will push away. They'll develop their own truth. Our culture, can we turn that heat down just a touch? Is that all right, Pastor Miranda? I'm going to choke out in here. I thought it was the Holy Ghost, but I think it's heat. So I see sweat rolling on people's brows. Debbie's back there saying, come on, turn the AC on. Thank you, Pastor Miranda. So what we're doing is we're going to look at this. Is it all right if we look at the truth of who Jesus is? The truth of the Word of God? The Messiah, the King, the Lord of Lords. Amen. And it's so awesome to talk about Him. It is so awesome. I don't know if anybody... let's just look at John 1 real quick. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. See, thank you for putting that up there. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not has not overcome it, did not comprehend it. But you know, we even see this in Scripture, that in the beginning was the Word. Could you imagine? You know, people ask that question. Who was before God? No. There's God. He's the beginning of time. Well, what about who made God? God was there at the beginning. God was it's Him. There was nothing before God. God was the beginning. God was the beginning. I don't know if anybody remembers the, you know, he was an author, and he wrote a book, and then I think they did a movie, but his name was Les Strobel. Does anybody know that name? And he put out a movie, and he wrote a book for the Case of Christ. And what was interesting was him and his family were actually eating at a restaurant, and his daughter began to choke. And a nurse actually happened to be there and actually helped save the daughter's life. I don't know if anybody knows the story. Does anybody know the story? But you know, what had happened was his daughter was choking and was, I mean, couldn't breathe. And this nurse comes over and basically clears her throat and all this stuff. And you know, he was like, wow, and found out that this lady was a Christian. She was a Christian. And so what it did was it basically at that point he was like, man, we should start going to church. But even when he started in the church, he was really kind to trying to find ways that he could poke holes in the resurrection or the power or the very nature of Jesus. But through all the research and through all the people that he met with, the one thing he had discovered was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was truth. Was truth. Now I want to talk about two things tonight, because there's two things that we as Christians need to be familiar with. That's objective truth, which an objective truth is this. You know, Justin, stand up here for me a second. So an objective truth would be, just come right up here with me. So an objective truth would be, Justin is a 6'4", right? Give or take six three and a half, and Justin is a male. Does everybody agree that Justin is a guy?
Yes.
So that to me is, understand this tonight, this is an objective truth. Now if Justin looked at me and said, well, you know, I'm really a cat, I would say, no, that's not true, because I know what a cat looks like. I understand that a cat is an animal that walks on four legs. Now, you can go walk around on four legs. It's not going to make you a cat. You guys understand? That's an objective truth. He's a guy. So we understand Justin's a guy. So you guys understand what I mean by objective truth. Like, you know, it's like there's a sky outside. When you walk outside, there's a sky. There's a sun. There's a moon. You know, you start talking to flat earthers, they'll start talking about other things. But, you know, is there really a sky or really stars? And, you know, the earth is this. You know, anyway, I'm not getting into that tonight. But you understand that there's an objective truth. And a subjective truth is this. My wife, as an example, her favorite ice cream, she would say, is Double Dunker. Right? today. Okay, so today Miranda would say that her, I call it Chunky Monkey. I don't know why it took that name in our house, but Pastor Miranda looked at me. Brian's laughing. Miranda looked at me one night, can you go get some ice cream? Can you go get Chunky Monkey? And that's what we started calling this ice cream. It's actually called Double Dunker. So I'm actually standing in Walmart, walking up down the aisles, and I'm looking for ice cream named Chunky Monkey. And I actually look at a guy at one point, I was like, you know, is all the ice cream here? And it was like, he was like, he just thought I was weird, you know? And I'm like, I'm missing. And then I was like, Chunky Monkey. I stood there for like a long time, too long really, to be looking for ice cream. And they didn't have Chunky Monkey. I'm like, what's the name of this ice cream? I was actually going to text, but, you know, I didn't text. The kids were over. Double Dunker was the name. So subjective truth is that she believes Double Dunker ice cream is the best. Now, I would say I like strawberry. That would be my truth. My favorite ice cream is this, or my favorite color is a certain thing. So you guys understand the difference between objective truth and subjective truth. Because, see, what we battle in this world is people's opinions. Well, Jesus, he was a good teacher. Jesus was this. Jesus was that. You know, Jesus wasn't the Messiah. You know, people will try to, they'll try to attack the case of Christ in so many ways. Well, he didn't really die. There was really no resurrection. There was none of that. And Les Strobel, if you've never watched that, it's really good. You should watch that. But that's the battleground, I believe, in our nations and in many other nations. Is you know, you hear people say this. Well, my truth is this. My truth. You guys ever heard anybody say that? This is my truth. Just because you have a truth or what you believe might be truth doesn't make it truth. Again, that goes back to that subjective truth. You know, I would say even go so far as to say this. There were certain ways that I grew up. That certain things that I had learned that I thought was truth. But when I became an adult and I began to learn about things in the Bible, even around debt, What I begin to learn about debt and what the Bible said about it versus what I grew up knowing, if I had never gotten around the truth of the Word of God, I still would have had the same view because I had grown up with a certain truth. Is this making sense tonight? Is this helping anybody? Because I really want you to take away something from this tonight. So I'll say this, and please do this over the resurrection time. Read about the death of Jesus Christ, the burial and the resurrection. You know, take time. It's in the Gospels. Take time and read about it. But then from there, you know, read Luke and just follow right into the book of Acts, and you'll see what Luke's talking about and how the church began to explode and because of the Holy Spirit. You've got to get the truth of the Word of God in you. You know, the world will do everything that it can do to trip Christians up. Why do you believe what you believe? I dare to say, see, if you're in this house, please understand, we need to be able to give an account for when people ask us these things. Well, because somebody's going to tell you, well, you know, I'm struggling with this. And, you know, it's not the Me Too movement. You know, that's not what we're doing. Me Too, you know, I got this. No. We got to be able to give people the truth, the real answers to Jesus Christ. How to flow into the source. See, Jesus is the source. Is he the source in your life? He's my source. He's my source. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at some passages of scriptures tonight. John, let's look at John verse 10. John verse 10. John 10, verse 22. And I love the book of John. Wow, it's so powerful. So we understand the... I think sometimes it alarms me how individualistic our society can be and how people will look at themselves. I remember during the Olympics, and I remember watching this girl. I want to thank God. That's all she said, and then she went on to talk about, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've this, I. And it was just constant, look at what I've done. And, you know, and guys, and hear me today, you know, there's nothing wrong with being proud of something that you do, but if our focus is always on I, and it's not on the we, if it's just I this and I that, and we don't have a focus, a Christ-like mindset or focus, you know, and I love it that, you know, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, and he sent his son for everybody, for all of humanity. I know many of you know this. But I think even during Easter, the reason why I feel like talking about truth is because you have to have the truth of Jesus in you. Jesus is living in you. Amen. I'm going to cover that in a few, but he lives in you. He's a living God. He's not gone. He's living in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. That's power. That's power. Amen. That's power. John 10, verse 22, look at this. It says, now when the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, then the Jews surrounded him, and they said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. So that's what religion will do even too. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. Make a note here. This is a my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They know that they're, you know, I know that I'm saved. Why? I hear God. You guys understand? You can know that you know that you know. You by hearing, how, you know, can I give you just some? How do I know that I can hear God's voice? I've given the instruction manual. I'm given the Bible. I'm given the book that I know that I can hear from Him, even right here. You know, I know that I can hear from Him through the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of me. But He's also given me the book, the instruction manual that I can actually re-tap into and begin to hear God. In the beginning was the what? Ooh. Amen. My sheep hear my voice, and I, what does Jesus say? I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What do we do? What do they do? They follow. What are we called to as Christians? We're called to follow Jesus, right? We're called to follow Him. We're called to follow Him, praise God. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Catch this, because look at this. It says, I and my Father are what? One. I and the Father are one. God in flesh. Truth. Truth. Flip it over, look at John 14. Let's look at that real quick. John 14, verse 9. This is a story about Philip. John 14, 9. It says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The works that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does these works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else me for the sake of the works themselves. Guys, I want you to catch this, because see, the living truth, the living God, he lives in you. He helps you. The Holy Spirit, he is a helper. He's a comforter. But the works of the Father in you. What's the purpose in that? It's the purpose of the works of the Father being in you is for us to always to demonstrate, always to tell, and to share this wonderful good news. Amen. But, beyond that, not just sharing, but to live a life worthy, to live a life sanctified, to live a life that's honorable to God. I know in this house, I'm not looking at people, you guys are consistent. You're not part-time Christians. You're not somebody, thank you. You're not just, I'm just going to go to church whenever I feel like it. You guys don't do that. You come, you show up, you hear the word, and you're going out and you're doing things. You're ministering to people. You're telling people about Jesus. So I know that. We don't quit. We don't quit at this area. But this is the stuff that it needs to begin to flow out of us. We need a greater revelation. But the works of the Father, that they're in you. You know what the word itself will reveal truth. The word that's in you will reveal the truth of the word of God. You know what I mean by that? You ever just be in a situation and by the Spirit a scripture pops up? Or something like God directs you in a certain way to do a certain thing? That's the Spirit of God. That's the living God working in you. That's the truth of the Word. That's the truth of the Father living in you. The Word, it not only reveals the truth, but it makes you alive. It makes you alive. It makes you alive. I know he's in me because of many things. I know he's in me because he's always wanting to change my heart. He's always working on me. I so appreciate that. And what I mean by that tonight is like, You ever just read your Bible and you're like reading along and you're reading something in the Word and you're like, ouch. Amen. Oh, he's talking about that. And then you start rehearsing thinking, I'm better. You ever do that? I'm better than I used to be. But ouch and amen, right? You that one point and it's like you read it and it's like, man, I gotta see, that's the truth of the word. Because see, what's God doing? He's working. He's working on us. That's what he's doing. We're being perfected in the image of truth. We're being perfected in the image of who he is. Not who we are, but who he is. We're being perfected in his image, who he is. That's what I love about knowing that I'm connected to him. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't ignore those moments or times when you read the word and something pops and it's like, man, God, he puts that on you. He's like, no, go deal with this. Don't ignore that. Or yet better yet, when the Holy Spirit tells you something, right? He presses you on something. Because see, that's how we begin to push away the lies of the enemy, the lies in general, and we move into the area of the truth of the living God. That we walk in truth. We talk in truth. We walk in that. We walk by faith, not by sight. But we walk in the truth of the Word of God. I remember recently, and I think I shared this, but the truth that Jesus is my Savior. A lot of people will wander into a church and they'll not understand the context of what it even means that Jesus saved them, that he is a person's Savior. What have you been saved from? Oh my, I've been saved from myself. Amen. I've been saved from a life of destruction. I've been saved from a life of hell. What have I been saved from? My. Look at what God's done for me. Look at what God, I mean, you all of us could say that. Look at what God's done for us. Look at what he's done for humanity. You know, that church, and I remember I was watching a video, but that pastor, he was in Canada, and he was talking to his congregation, and there's certain things that will grieve you, and I don't talk about other pastors or ministries or anything. I just don't leave it alone, you know, but this, you know, this pastor was saying that, you know, I don't know if we should use the word Savior. You know, that can be an offensive word. And I'm like, we can never move away from understanding. That's what he is. What he did for us. What he absolutely 100% did for us. And we're worried about, you know, not everybody will see him as a Savior. They'll learn over 100 years that he's their Savior. No. If I didn't meet him as a Savior day one, I realize what I was saved from. Is that anybody in here? You're like, you knew. Like, man, that's forgiven. Now you learn, right? You learn. You're being molded. Yeah, you know, but wow, look at what God's done. That all my sins have been wiped away. Praise God. Last thing I want to cover is, it's this. Look, take your Bibles, go to John 8:31. John 8:31. How do we come to the revelation of truth as a body, as Christians? How do we come to it? John 8:31, it says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in me, my word. See, there's a key right here. So if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Interesting, the Greek word, the gnesko, is the Greek word here, and it's really powerful. But that word to know, it means to gain knowledge through experience. How do you begin to know him? It's through experience. It's through spending time with him. It's through cracking your Bible open. It's through getting in the Word. Can I give you one more? It's meeting in a prayer meeting every morning at 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. You're meeting with the living God. That we have that opportunity to meet with him. And guess what he does? He shows up. He shows up. Jesus shows up. Why? Because his word says that where two or three are gathered in my name, where is he? He's there. Is he here? Is he here to heal? Yeah. Is he here to see people saved? Yeah. And I love that. You know, it's that word gnesko, if I'm saying it right, but it's relational. It's everything that we need to know. How do we begin to know truth? You know, when I married my wife, think about this. When I married my wife, if I didn't take time to get to know her, right? Brother Don and Beb, Brian and Erica, you guys, you took time to get to know one another. How do you do that? It's through spending time. It's the development of a relationship. It's the same kind of word that you know, and what happens when you get to know somebody, you begin to develop a knowledge and a truth of each other, right? Certain things develop, honesty, integrity, you know, the things that will begin to take place. See, Jesus is doing that same thing with us. He's doing that same thing, that relational thing, to know him. I mean, really to know him. I want to encourage you guys, really, just to really focus in on the Gospels. Read the red. If you get some time, carve off some time. You don't have to read it fast either. And I'm not telling you, you know, like you got to do all this before Easter. That's why take your time. Get to know him. get to spend that time with Him and see what His Word's saying. It goes beyond our own nature. When we have the exact knowledge of who He is, we'll see truth. We'll see truth in Him. Walking in truth. You know, and let me add to this, because you know, even in John 8:31, you know, if you abide in My Word, see that to know truth, what do we have to do? We've got to abide in Him. You know, people think, well, it's my life, I can do whatever I want. That's deal with it. It's my truth. Nobody can tell me. You know, I remember a time when I went to a prison. You know, and God come out in shackles, and you know, His truth, He was in prison. His truth was He needed a Savior. And I'm going to go to prison for the rest of my life for murder. You know, his response was, you know what, I'm going to be in Arizona in a federal penitentiary. I know where they're going to send me. I'll never forget it, because I said, you know, I don't really want to talk about that right now. And it had to have been the Holy Ghost, because it was the Holy Ghost. I said, let's talk about home. Tell me about where you live. Tell me about Kay and I. Tell me about what you liked. So I took him into a place where he could begin to see some truth in his past life of what was. And then I introduced to him Christ, the truth of who Jesus is. You know, in prison ministry, they tell you, you know, make sure you don't ever hug the guards. Don't hug the guards. You don't want to hug guards, but don't hug the inmates. You don't want to go around hugging guards. They'll liable to get shot. Amen. There's a little slip there. But don't go around hugging guards. Please. That's not smart in any correctional facility. Don't tell the tell them a guy by the name Brian Backus said that, not Brad Reiser. So don't go hugging guards. But you're not supposed to hug the inmates. And I'll never forget, you know, that truth. The truth of the living God came alive on the inside of him. He jumped up out of his chair. Chair went flying. The guards, he's 3.5 doors away. And those doors take about good 7 seconds. I counted on the way in. I knew how long it would be until somebody got to me. You know, this door shut. So 5 seconds, 7 seconds. You know, I'm going 5, 7. You know, I'm counting it off. He jumped up out of his chair. Chair went flying. He come over and he embraced me. And I seen the guard in the guard shack from inside stand up. And I heard a door click. You know, I'm sorry, he's got about 10 more seconds. But you know what? I just grabbed him and I held him. And you know, he cried under the power of God. And I said, God's going to help you. And I didn't want to talk about what had happened. I just said, God's going to help you. And you know, He was freed from jail within a year. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, whether he did it or not, I knew God was going to help him. I knew God was going to help him. There's a living God. There's a living God that we all need to put a I'm telling you, just a trust and a real faith in. And I'll say this, because see, if we don't live this thing out, we're not going to know it. What do you mean, Pastor? If you don't live with the convictions, like when you have convictions over things, and you don't live with convictions, and you don't live with God's helping me, I'm going to get this right. I'm working on it. You live with that. Because you're living with the truth of the living God, the very power that raised him from the dead. It dwells and it lives on the inside of you. You know, what does truth do? It changes us. You know, honestly, the truth of Jesus. What's the main thing it's done for me in my life? It's changed me. I'm not who Miranda married 27 years ago. Why? Because I've gained confidence in the truth of the living Word of God. Not only for my marriage, now for a church. Now for other people. That's the same thing for you all. You're going to gain that knowledge of truth. Because you're going to help people. You're going to help your family. You're going to help people. Guys, God's not calling us to pamper people. You guys hear what I'm saying? He's not calling us to pamper people. You can't. You go be there for people and you pray for them. But you're not called to go get people out of the pits. You maybe once, two, three, four times, maybe you do that, but you're called to give them truth. You don't scream and yell. You give it to them in love, the very love, the very nature of love. But I tell you guys, let me close with this tonight, because I think sometimes it's dangerous when people, it's so dangerous when people, and I know everybody knows somebody, that they think they have a truth of God, but they're not connecting to Him. They live however they want to live. They live like hell. People live like hell. They do whatever they want to do. Sexual immoral behavior. They do whatever they want to do. And they want God, but God. God will help you, yes. But I honestly, I think about that story, and I thought about it today, but what's the story in the Gospels where they're on the other side and they want just a drink of water or just a little bit of water to touch their tongue? What is that story? You know what I'm talking about? Where they're in, huh? Lazarus, yeah. The rich man Lazarus. Can you tell my brothers? Can you tell my family this is not where you want to be? That there, you know, guys understand that's it. That there's a real hell. That, you know, it's like tell my family that this is real. Hell wasn't created for people, but unfortunately, people will go there. People need truth. They need truth. They need to understand. You know, people. You know, when I hear people say, you know, I'm going to be in hell with the rest of my friends, that's the dumbest statement anybody could ever make. Coming from West Virginia, I've heard it more than once. Heard it more than once. It's where all my friends are going to be. Friends in low places, no. Praise God, I got friends in high places. And I think that's the thing. We've got to break things open in this community. The amount of prayer, please hear me tonight, the amount of prayer and things that we're praying about now as a community, and prayer is getting ready to elevate even to another level. I felt that I felt that over the last few weeks that, you know, Pastor, do we need to pray more? No, I think God's going to begin to direct us around very specific things to pray for, and we're going to see God do those things. I mean, praying over drugs. I mean, people don't. We've prayed over drugs, and it's like when we started praying a little more over that, a bust. You know, 2 weeks ago, I've been praying over the interstate system on 79. Anybody drive 79? Yeah. Wide open, baby. I mean, it's 80, 90 mile an hour. People fly it, and, you know, people pulling out in front of people. I mean, I just begin to pray over our interstate system. From Charleston, West Virginia to Pittsburgh, that this roadway would be free of accidents. You know, guys, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. But we're releasing God's power over our communities, over people, over families, over lives. It's because we have the truth of the living God living in us. Amen. Praise God. I don't have anything else tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. Minister, if you would. Can I give you another truth? You can't do whatever you want to do anymore. Truth is, you can't do whatever you want to do. But praise God, I'm so thankful that I don't act the way I used to act. My wife would say amen to that. She'd probably even say, you know, you've matured some over the years. Praise God. You know, the other day I grabbed her in the kitchen. I said, let's dance. No kids at home. We started dancing in the kitchen. I stepped on her feet probably once or twice. She's like, you're trying. I said, I know, I'm trying. I said, but isn't this fun? I spun her around in the kitchen. See, when you, last statement, I think. When you love Jesus and you love the truth, it's going to correct you. Be okay with that. Be okay with that. Just be okay with it. He'll change you, man, and that's amazing. Just allow Him to change us. Praise God. Everybody just bow your heads tonight. Thank you, Father.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.